7 o'clock hour, after hours. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard producing the operation. 913-586-7965. The phone number, 913-586-7965. Jay Southland Toast Service. Text line. We have a text here from 816. Sam Binkley, the man. Let's go to Waffle House with Drew sometime. Yeah, Drew's never been. Drew from the afternoon show, 10 to 2, the producer, Drew Nixon. Never been to the Waffle House. Have you been, Jacob?
You haven't been?
No, I've been a million times. Drew has not been.
That's wild. Yeah, I've been a lot, actually.
Sober or drunk?
It's funny, my senior year of high school, like right before COVID and everything was going on, that was just like a good cheap place to eat. I think it was like you could get stuff for under 10 bucks, $7, yeah. Something right in that range.
I mean, it's been when you turn 21, it's been, you know, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning type hangout. Never closes. They have a jukebox in there. This, like I said, 365, man, 24/7. It's always open. It's always there for you as a friend. But yeah, I think I had some weight to lose one time because they had like an all you can eat type thing for like $11 or something like that when I was in high school, Jacob. You just go ahead and pound the hash browns, the biscuits and gravy, the waffles, you name it, man. I mean, it's, I've even been there on a holiday, man. I'm no joke.
I mean, I don't hate it. They also have a very underrated burger too, like yeah. For Waffle House.
Yeah. And I've always been impressed there too, because when you go in places, you know, they write your order down or they, you know, digitally do it now and send it back to the kitchen or whatever, right? Well, they just yell it, man. They just yell it. Like the cook back there, they just yell the order, right? You have some lady, you know, leather skin, hairnet on, just barking out hash brown orders or over easy eggs and everything. And they know it, man. They don't need to write it. They just do it, man. Like that's impressive stuff.
Yeah, it's similar to, like, I used to, one of my first jobs was at Quick Trip. And
those guys impress me too.
They don't count back the money. The machines don't. You have to in your head know how you can everything.
Fast, like, man.
It becomes secondhand knowledge.
Yeah, they're fast, man. Quick Trip. I mean, it's impressive. And by the way, don't be that guy or gal that decides to go into Quick Trip with 50 lottery tickets and having them check them. Like then, when there's a
that
line.
That process takes so long.
Well, it does. But it's annoying. And, you know, people that, you know, buying gas or whatever, they come in there to buy a drink or whatever, and all of a sudden you're sitting behind lottery ticket guy and or standing behind him, and then the line starts to get longer and longer, and dude's back there checking the lottery tickets. As a Quick Trip employee back then, how much did you hate lottery ticket guy or gal?
Oh, so much. I mean, it, like you said, it literally slows down the entire process, and line starts forming. And, you know, I was second shift or in like that 2 to 10 range. So I didn't get a ton of those. But at the same time, it's like if you ever hear the like alarm that goes off, that's the cashier calling for backup for
sure.
When those people to start help then out the line.
But there's a time and place too. At 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, that's fine. Right. That's fine. But during the lunch hour, anywhere from like 11 to 1, just keep your damn tickets, you know, or check them online yourself. You can actually do that, you know. You can check your own tickets. Between, I would say, probably 4 to 6:30 or 7, that's probably a rough time too, wouldn't it, Jacob? I mean, guess dinner hour, people are stopping, getting gas before they go home, and they don't have time to sit there behind a lottery ticket. There's a million times I've been like, man, I should just paid at the pump and not even come in here and screwed with it, man. That lottery ticket guy's in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, anytime after, like, people get off, you know, you're 9 to 5. So in about 20 to 30 minutes after 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or basically, like you said, anytime someone's commuting home or to work, it's a quick trip, I guess.
Hey, it's supposed to be quick, stop. Man. It's supposed to be quick. You go in there and get your job done. I mean, it's the same thing grocery stores, you know. You know, many of them don't even have express lines now. It's all like self-checkout and stuff like that. But some people refuse to do it. Like, they may have like one item, and they'll still wait behind somebody with like 50 or 60 items because they don't feel like going to self-checkout, which is insane. Insane to me. And what I really hate is when someone takes like all their grocery order to the liquor department and then decides to get it, and the poor guy back there, you know, bagging this stuff up. It's like he's used to just like bagging up a you know, some whiskey or a 12-pack or something, and you're on your way. And then you stand behind somebody with 50 or 60. It happened to me once, and I said, I'm curious. Did they order any liquor whatsoever? Did they have any liquor at all in the liquor department with their freaking full grocery cart of groceries? And you know what the answer was? No. So then the next week I went in there, they had a little sign that said, 12 items or less. Yeah, that's, yeah. I don't think you can say you must get liquor or whatever. But if you're in the liquor department, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans, right? Buy liquor if you're in the liquor department or stay the hell out, right? But I digress. But the Waffle House is great. I've actually been there on holidays as well. Yes, 816. Jay, did you see Quick Trip has its own beer now? Quitting Time Beer. Yeah, they get their own beer. You can go to Minsky's and Johnny's. They have their own, there's a brewery up in Weston. They'll make their own brew for them. But yeah, Quick Trip. Have you ever had the Quick Trip beer?
No, I have not. Have you gotten to try it yet?
You know, I have, and I loved it. I thought it was good beer. I mean, it's what I call a rapid consumption beer. You know, not a, you know, like a good IPA or something like that, or a nice craft beer. You may have like two or three of them or something. You just like the taste of it. But this is, you know, you cake them. You know, it's like some Coors Light, you know, or something like that. And you just cake. That's my rapid consumption beer is Coors Light. I drink it all summer. Now in the fall, I'll go heavy Oktoberfest, which, by the way, the Oktoberfest should be coming out here soon. And I know it's ridiculous because it's in July, but late July, early August, that's when that Oktoberfest is actually the freshest. They get done kind of making it in end of May, and they used to just sit around until October. But now you're starting to see these Oktoberfest blends start to hop out, man. This is the best time to get them. Again, beer's not wine. You drink it fast before it ages. But during the summertime, my friend, Coors Light in a lot of it.
And water. Just put that out there.
Not much. Not much. But definitely Coors Light. Here's the one at 816. Back in the day, I used to check out in the jewelry department or the outdoor department because I didn't want to wait in line. That's the way to go check out. That's actually pretty smart because you can do that. Like, you can go to a different section and do that. But, you know, nowadays it's different. You can do, you know, online pickup or whatever. You know, you get out there and you call the store and they bring it out, even though, I mean, I don't think I've ever used that.
See, my favorite is Sam's Club. You can literally check out the items, like, or scan them as you go on your phone.
Now, that's smart.
And then check out, like, and just show, like, you skip the lines and everything. You can just walk to their, they have someone who checks and makes sure you paid. But that, I mean, that's the quickest. And you're buying bulk, so you don't have to stand through all the lines and everything.
Because those lines do get long at those places. They do, but to be able to go through the store and check out, like you said, that's smart. See, you can be smart with things, man. You can take advantage of it. But I've never done that thing like you go to Dick's Sports or whatever and you buy something and you sit on your car and say, hey, bring me my crap. You know what I mean? I haven't done that yet. Not saying I won't, but at this point I haven't. I have done the online grocery, though. I have done that because that saves a lot of time. It's not because I'm lazy. It's just because I want to save time. You know, here's one from the 816, Jacob. Binkley, I take care of some forklifts at a beer distribution place, and the Oktoberfest is sitting in their building here soon, will be delivered for you. See, that's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the poor Oktoberfest just sitting around right now. It's just sitting around waiting to hit the shelves. Like, I feel sorry for that. Like, all June and July, because that beer's just sitting there, man.
And there's another text for you, too.
It should be drinking. Here's 816. I work at Boulevard. We start to ship Bob's tomorrow. Okay. All right. I got to put this on the list because I do have a list because I'm still, I know you can get on your phone, your computer, whatever, like college football previews or whatever. Like, I'm a huge go get a preview magazine type guy. You know, NFL, fantasy, college, whatever. Usually end of May, 1st of June, Barnes & Noble start having these things roll in. I like to take one day and say, all right, this is my designated day to go out and get all these things, all right? Because I still read them, you know. I mean, you can take your phone to the crapper, but why not take a magazine, you know what I'm saying, Jacob? But the Boulevard Bob's 47 is a top three October beer for me, honestly. And if it's shipping tomorrow, that means the others are too. Like, I'm still an old-school-fashioned Sam Adams Oktoberfest fan, and I know that every brewer down Banks like a Sam Adams. Now, it's a lot easier to find than it used to be, but that's just one of the classics, Ms. Van. That is one of the classics. And Bob's 47 Oktoberfest, that is a true classic as well. I love it. Not only that, when I switched to winter beer right after Thanksgiving, because I'm like on a schedule, man. I switch, man. Thanksgiving turkey's done, buddy. You switch to the damn winter beer. You know what I'm saying? Sam Adams Winter Lager. I'm a kid by my favorite, really, actually top two that I must have in winter. And I know I'm on a tangent and I should be talking Brett Veach right now, but I'm talking about beer and I like beer. And I think our sports fans do, because believe it or not, I don't need a survey to tell me this, but sports fans do like beer. I do know this. You know, this is not rocket science. Beer and women. And but the Boulevard has a Nutcracker Ale. Dude, I'm not kidding, man. That is all winter long, man. And then when the Chiefs have played on Christmas Day the last couple of years, you know, you get back at night, you crack one of those. I saved just a six-pack just for that. Not that I don't drink it all year, but or winter, but I saved that six-pack because it's a good dessert beer, man. That Nutcracker, you tried it yet from Boulevard? Sick, man. So good. So good. But I love that Mother's Winter Grind down at Mother's Brewing Company in Springfield. I'm not a big coffee guy at all, but it's got coffee in it. It's just a really good winter beer. Mother's Winter Grind. I'm not kidding you, man. I actually went to the brewery last fall. I actually went to Mother's and had a Mother's with my mother.
See, and that's like...
Imagine that. Got a selfie with my mother at Mother's.
That's great. See, and your point about the coffee, like, I'm not a coffee drinker either, but anything with coffee, like, I'm jealous of it. It smells really good. But I'm not a coffee
person. I'm not either, man. But coffee beer is in a world of its own. I'm not kidding. It's weird how that happens. But I did not realize that Bob's ships tomorrow. You know what that means? I need to call my several favorite liquor stores that I have on speed dial and say, do you mind holding this for me? Because I will go beer shopping. And I'll get the cart and I'll go out and get beers. You know, see, because they're going to run out of them. They do run out of them. Like Sam's Winterfest and stuff, they get a limited release. They'll make, you know, what they have. They'll ship it to you. And then, it's, you know, if you didn't buy it, you're SOL. But regardless, I did not know it's shipping out tomorrow. I tried the Boulevard. Here's 816. I tried the Boulevard Oktoberfest last year. It's the Bob's. It says it's delicious. If you haven't tried it, yes, I will concur on that. And then Boulevard, we had them in that one day. I was with Cody Gold during that 1 o'clock hour on Fridays, right? And Boulevard did it with a s'mores taste. They had they collaborated with Whitman's. Well, I think they own them too, or whatever. Collaborated with them at least, but the s'mores with the beer. But again, this is why you like fall. I mean, I love my Coors Light, man. But this Boulevard, this Bob's, I'm a sicko for that. Anyway. I need to get back to Brett Veach. I got on a tangent talking Waffle House and beer, and in my opinion, it doesn't get any better than that, to be honest with you. We'll talk Brett Veach, who doesn't get any better than that either, next. And welcome back to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan from the 816. I'm a fan of Irish Red, and I will drink it now in the summer. You do you, man. If that's your jam, you do it. You know, you just stockpile that stuff, throw it in the garage, whatever. Get yourself a nice cold six. I see, I'm getting thirsty now, man. You know, we have a beer fridge here, right? It's out there by the sink. You ever seen it?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it's a nice little beer fridge. I used to have a beer show on Friday nights, right in the middle of sports, right? It was like at 7:30 on Friday nights. We'd do the local breweries and stuff. But a lot of local breweries have some good Irish beer. Call Sign, Center Block, you name it. They've got some good beers. I got a text message from Craig Greco. He's the one that paints cleats, right? This guy, he does a lot of Chiefs cleats. He's working on, he sent me some pictures of these Chiefs cleats for a certain player that he's doing. I won't mention the player unless he tells me I can mention it, but he's done several players, a lot of them, and coaches, owners, you name it, he's done cleats for. But he does, and he's done the Cody Gold garage sale before, right? His shoes and cleats, but these things are ridiculous. I'll show you during the break, man. But these shoes are ridiculous, ridiculous talent that he's got. But his son Brady and Kylie, his daughter, they want me to talk more beer. And I was like, hey, man, you guys aren't 21 yet. But beer and pooping, I guess I did talk about both. I didn't really talk about much other than beer, but I guess I didn't mention it, right?
But yeah, dude, fair enough.
But you see the text line. I mean, I could talk Mahomes or Veach top three moves, and you get some text here and there. But how many texts did we get on people? Not Brett Veach's top three moves, people's top three beers. It's like full of them. It's like full of beer, man. It's like text line is full of what you like to drink, which doesn't shock me at all that sports fans like beer, because you don't need to pay somebody for a survey or, you know, well, it turns out that, you know, men 25 to 54 like beer and boobs, you know, they do, and gambling, which we'll talk about that too. I do want to talk about gambling. You and I were talking about some during the break, and I think it's interesting. We'll get to that later. But Brett Veach's top three moves as a GM, because, you know, we talked a lot about JJ with the Royals and stuff. Is he going to buy? Is he going to sell? Which direction are they going to go? And again, I think it's difficult for the Royals to do because they don't play with the same parameter. When the Royals won the World Series in 15, they had a $20 million payroll, man. Not $20 million payroll. They had a higher payroll, but $20 million television package. Now it's up now. It's, you know, $60, $70 million. The Rays, believe it or not, have a larger TV, which is really weird because nobody watches that team or goes their game, but I guess they watch on TV evidently. But Brett Veach, like, you got to make moves, trades, contracts, and you have to be good in the draft. Because if you're not good in the draft, you can't go to seven straight AFC title games. You can't go to three straight Super Bowls. You can't have a quarterback like Mahomes go to five Super Bowls, winning three of them in that span if you're not drafting well. You can't go in to the season like you did last year with 21 of the previous 22 draft picks still in the roster, except for Bo Peep Keys. That's ridiculous. That's one thing for the Cardinals or Colts or Jags or anybody else to say that. But it's another thing for someone to say it that's actually winning games. I bring it up all the time. You know, the parade after Super Bowl 57 with the Eagles, you know, Veach is holding that Lombardi. And he says, this is what a rebuild looks like. To me, that ought to be on T-shirts. Because it was Nazi Johnson, it was Jalen Watson, it was Isaiah Pacheco all in the seventh round. The draft picks were helping the team. Starting guard in the sixth round, Trey Smith. Ooh, Creed Humphrey, second round pick, starting at center, best center in the league. So, yeah, those things do happen. But you got to make shrewd moves as well. Someone here in the text line points out that even though it wasn't Veach, it was John Dorsey, but I'd like to give him credit for taking Mahomes. And, you know, guys like Andy Reid have talked about Brett Veach and being instrumental in getting Mahomes. At that point, Brett Veach was a scout. He came to Kansas City, was an SEC scout, so obviously he scouted that conference tooth and nail. But he also scouted guys outside of that conference, like Kareem Hunt when he was at Toledo. That was a big one that Brett Veach wanted. Brett Veach did do other conferences as well, but he did watch Patrick Mahomes, and that was a guy that he put on the Chiefs' radar early on. So, yes, even though he wasn't GM, do I give him credit? Yeah, we went on Lee Steinberg, Mahomes' agent, and he kept talking about Veach blowing his phone up. Like, the whole night of the draft, it was Veach blowing his phone up. Not Dorsey. It was Brett Veach blowing his phone up that night. And, of course, we all know what happened in 17 after the draft. Later that summer, Brett Veach becomes the general manager of the Chiefs. I would get to a lot of these texts, but a lot of them is your favorite beer. So I'll get to them here in a second. But what would be your best move for Brett Veach while I sift through the beer text?
Well, we kind of mentioned it, and I, you know, maybe people have forgotten, but I'm a Patriots fan, or that's what I've been raised as. And so I have a little bit of bias when it comes to my favorite move, but it was the acquisition of Joe Tooney. It really helped solidify the offensive line back in 2021. You know, sad move that you guys stole him away for us, but he didn't have a place.
They had to rebuild that line after what happened to him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I mean, he was one of my favorite players. You know, strong offensive line builds up a team. And he was solid for the foundation, helping Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith.
Tooney was huge for this team. He's such a pro's pro. You know, he's the first player ever to win like three Super Bowls right off the bat, starting three Super Bowls because he was with the Patriots and the Chiefs, but actually started on his first 3 years in the NFL. Remember, they were good right when they drafted Tooney. They threw him right in there with the Patriots. They were on that run, and Tooney was just part of that. I'll give him credit for moving out to tackle. I know a lot of people.
He tried his best.
Here's the thing. They wanted to see it. They're like, what about Tooney maybe being left tackle? Here's the thing about it. I know it sounds geeky, but his arms were short. You know, the short arms. And big deal. You're being a geek about it. Now, during the draft, you know, is the reason why Andy Reid's drafted 34 and a quarter inch arms when he's drafted. You know, the longer arm guys. And Simmons a little bit shorter than that. But regardless, Tooney was at 32 and a quarter, right? It's just a big difference when you're playing tackle, right? He's a guard. That's what he is. Now, he took one for the team and he moved out there. And he did well until the Super Bowl. And that's when it was really, you know, glossed over. But he was playing out of position, right? Like, he was out of position. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. Here's the top three from the 816. Signing the Honey Badger, number one. I get it, man. I get it. Because that Honey Badger might be in my list, too. And he probably will be. He is. I'll just be honest with you. He is. But number two, the Frank Clark trade. Because playoff Frank was a different animal, and that helped the Chiefs get to the quarterback. Playoff Frank was awesome. And again, it's what you do in the postseason. Like Sammy Watkins, I remember they even talking about it. You know, what he does in the regular season is one thing, but can he show up in the postseason? He was almost a 100-yard a game guy once you got to the postseason, because that's really the part that matters. And Tyreek Hill trade for picks, which Tyreek Hill's trying to earn the trust back of his teammates because he wanted out. Remember? He kind of wanted out of that deal. But that's his top three. And I love that list. You know, another one, the Brett Veach's drafts, certainly high on there. That 2022 draft was ridiculous. But you got to find those diamonds in the rough. I mean, yeah, he's made comments before that, like when he drafted Pacheco, he even called a shot. He said, I think a sixth-rounder, seventh-rounder, probably run for 1,000 yards in the NFL. Now, he didn't. He came close to it, Pacheco did. But he would have gotten there. And that's the kind of back, starting back for Super Bowl champion that he went out and got in the seventh round. He hit it. He said the year they drafted Nick Bolton, he said the second and third round are the hot zones. That's the hot zone of the draft. He's right. Because when he made that trade for Orlando Brown, he got pick 58 back from the Ravens, which was Nick Bolton, who was drafted in the hot zone. Completely the hot zone. Let's go to the phone lines now. Dan and KCK. Dan, what do you think about Veach's best moves?
I like it too a lot, Bink. I think it's going to work wonders. I got Dean, this guy, Custer and Dean at Henhouse. He says the Chiefs are going to be 9-8. I say 13-4. He goes 13-4. Come on, Dan, be real. I am being real, Dean. He thinks the Chiefs are going to go 9-8. I don't think so.
Well, 15 wins last year from a team that a lot of people were counting out, but those, you know, one-score wins, turned out they won 15 games, and they threw away that last one against the Broncos, not playing any starters.
Oh, yeah, I understand that, too, but, yeah, Dean thinks 9-8. And I don't know how I missed you at the Mets game, Bink. I was down there at saying hi to Josh. Where were you at the Mets game?
I was by home plate, man. I wasn't in the Crown Club. I was in the one by behind at the diamond.
I was down there by home plate.
You were in the fancy seats, Dan. You were down there, you know, not that I wasn't, but you were in the fancier.
Okay. Well, maybe next time I'll see you. Take care of yourself, Bink. Take care.
All right, Dan. Take care, my friend. Take care, my friend. But yeah. Orlando Brown trade was nice, but you got to be good in trades. Contracts, you got to be great at, because certainly you can look at, you know, the Mahomes contract, because that's been, even though he's getting $500 million, he's not one of the, you know, top seven paid quarterbacks on a year basis, even though he's guaranteed that money. But his contract is so movable as far as when you pay him and salary cap. Like, it's very team friendly, let's put it that way. But they started working on that before Mahomes was even a starter.
Well, and it's smart because of the, like, whole cap going up every year. It's not a guarantee, but it kind of is that it's going to go up every year. Like you said, they got an additional $6 million or something?
$9.2 million.
Yeah, and that was a surprise to teams. So it's going up, and for them to kind of be able to get that big contract, lock him in for 10 years, you know, it just... it helps the team, and yes, it's a hefty chunk of money, but that's what you're going to pay your star quarterback.
But you have to, you know, you have to be proactive, and you have to look at, you know, how much it's going to go up. It was $208 million back in like 22, and it's already at 279.2, so you know what's going on up. So you kind of bank on it. It's kind of like Christmas vacation, you know. Clark puts the down payment on the pool, and he hadn't got his check yet for his bonus. And so he went ahead and put the money out, wrote the check, right? Because he's new, getting his bonus every year. He was going to get it. Well, he didn't get it. And, well, he ended up getting it, but didn't get the time. So you spend the money before you got it. But anyway, the salary cap is going up, and he's taking advantage of that. And he's done a great job. It takes like guys like Shea and Brant Tellis and those guys they had through the years working on their salary cap. That, you have to make good trades. Like the Frank Clark trade, like trading the Tyreek Hill, you got to do that. And he's done great on his trades. And you have to draft players that'll play for your team. When you're dealing with a salary cap world, you need guys on first-year time contracts to do things. And, you know, I'm curious to see what the 49ers do now that they paid Brock Purdy, because they came close, but they didn't win it when they weren't paying him, because they were able to pay everybody else, like Debo, Bosa, everybody else. Debo's in Washington now, you know? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I put my top three Veach moves down. I'll let you know what those are next. Welcome back to After Hours. I'm here tomorrow night as well. Then 2 to 6 on Friday, I'm sure beer will come up. Here's 816. Killian's Irish Red, Sam Adams Cherry Wheat, and a nice cold Budweiser from Chuck. That's his top three, even though he says from the east side of the state. He does like that. Try Schlafly Brewery in St. Louis. Like, it's pretty good brewery, to be honest with you. Oh, and I got a text back giving permission. It's Karloftis. He's working on a bunch of shoes for Karloftis. And he's doing some for Rashee Rice as well. And he's done Andy Reid in the past and stuff like that. But Greco Paintworks does an awesome job with the different shoes. As far as the top three moves that I have, the honorable mention is the Honey Badger. I can't put it in the top three only because, you know, Mahomes is the quarterback, and that was a Mahomes team. And, yes, but the Badger, I'll put an honorable mention for this because I do think that helped kind of shape the defense and the way he played, kind of the quarterback on the defense when he was here. But number three, I'm putting the Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward trade. Because here was Parker Anger, a backup player, ended up, you know, having a cup of coffee with other teams, but traded for Charvarius Ward, an undrafted guy that the Cowboys picked up, and he won a ring for you. He was a guy that went out and got a big contract with the Niners. He's with the Colts at this point, but that was a move. Again, you have to make shrewd moves. Number two for me was the Orlando Brown deal. Now, before you start hating, and I know people loved to hate on Orlando Brown, but the bottom line is, with that vaunted Eagles pass rush, remember, this number one in the NFL in sacks back at Super Bowl 57, they got none, and the Chiefs offensive linemen more than at the parade, no sacks given up. The Chiefs, by the way, were number two in sacks, but nobody talked about that. But regardless, the Chiefs did not have a left tackle, and they needed one. And not only that, he didn't get it from the Cardinals, the Colts, the Jags, somebody. He got it from a rival, the Ravens. The Ravens were that up-and-coming team that's trying to beat the Chiefs. He got a left tackle from the freaking Ravens. All right? But not only that, he got pick 58 that came over with the Orlando Brown trade, and that turned into Nick Bolton. Yeah. So that move in itself, because they didn't have a left tackle. They tried for Trent Williams, man. They tried hard for the Trent Williams. And he was kind of open to it. He listened to the Chiefs. He went to the wee hours of the morning before he finally signed back with San Francisco. But the Chiefs tried to make that move. But then they didn't have anybody when that fell through. Because the draft, was your Sam Cosmes, your Leatherwoods, Liam Eichenberg, guys like that, they weren't left tackles. And they were left tackles coming out of the draft. But Chiefs, smart, you know, evaluation, said, nah, not a starter for a quarterback like Mahomes starting in the NFL, and they went a different direction, and they made the right move then. But they get him from a rival. You know, and Mahomes came from that trade with the Bills, another rival. So, yes, the Chiefs' rivals helped the Chiefs. The Chiefs aren't what they are today. They don't have three Super Bowl rings under Mahomes without the rivals being stupid, like the Buffalo Bills, like the Baltimore Ravens, that helped the Chiefs out because they did not have a left tackle. And Orlando Brown won a ring with them, right? So, and you got Nick Bolton over in that deal. So that's number two for me. And the top move that I think he made was Harrison Butker. Harrison Butker in 2017 was drafted in the seventh round by the Panthers. They had Graham Gano. he ended up, you know, being their starter. But there's Harrison on the practice squad. And both Tobe and Brett Veach had really liked Harrison Butker at Georgia Tech. And they really liked him. He said, hey, he's on the practice squad. So they poached him and put him on the active roster. Was it Santos got hurt at the time? So Harrison Butker became the kicker. And you don't look bad. You don't win those rings without him. The clutch kicks, whether it's in the cold, whether it's in the Super Bowl, whatever. They don't win them without him. Like, that was his first move that he made. And to me, that's number one move that he's made. So top three was Butker, the Orlando Brown deal that brought over Nick Bolton as well, and then Parker Anger for Servarius Ward. But we go on and on. I mean, there's other things I considered, just like the draft, the 2022 draft. You kidding me? Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis in the first round. But then there was Sky Moore, and I get it. Sky Moore hadn't panned out. And someone asked me what might have been one of the worst moves. Maybe there. Brian Cook's been a contributor. Leo Chanel in that draft. Josh Williams in that draft. Kennard's no longer here, but Jalen Watson, seventh rounder, has been a starter for this team. Isaiah Pacheco, your running back in that draft. Nazee Johnson, special teams and contributor, really showed a lot before he was hurt last year. But those were seventh round picks. So that 2022 draft, that might have been, that's Brett Veach's best draft, to be honest with you. But he's made moves in who he's not drafted as well. Now, the Sky Moore one, that does stick out because it has to, and just to be fair, because the Chiefs were in need for a wide receiver. And Sky Moore was a guy that caught everything in Western Michigan, caught everything. And they took a chance. They bring in Sky Moore. It just hasn't worked out. He's still on the team, still trying to make the team up in St. Joe. He's won rings with the Chiefs. I get it. But the Chiefs were in need for receiver. They took a stab. It's that one dart they had, because they went heavy on defense. That year was basically all defense except for Sky Moore and then Darian Kennard on the offensive line, and then Pacheco, obviously, running back in that draft, but it was heavy defensive draft. And the one thing about Sky Moore is he was that dart. He was that dart that he threw at wide receiver. Hadn't worked out. But I'll give him credit because Rashee Rice has worked out. When Rashee Rice was drafted, but he wasn't drafted till later on. Rashee Rice was actually later on in the draft. He was part of that 2023, the year after, when he was picked in the second round. It was that Friday night. The draft was in Kansas City. Remember, they picked Rice and Wanye Morris. The only time they went offense, because five of their seven picks were defense in that one. So he took a stab and took an arrow and said, all right, Rashee Rice, you're the dude. And he was the dude, because only Puka Nacua had more yards and receptions as a rookie than Rashee Rice. And Rashee Rice is well on his way to having a hell of a year last year until he was hurt. That's a win. Like, that's a win. And I think Xavier Worthy, this year, when they take that one stab, or last year, when they take that one stab at a wide receiver, Xavier Worthy has worked out, because everybody was saying he was small. He ran a 4.21 at the combine. Chiefs are, you know, enamored by his speed, but they knew he was more than that. You know, you talk to Steve Sarkisian, BYU guy, Andy Reid, the connection. Tell me more about this guy. Xavier Worthy blows him away at the combine. You know, not only diagramming plays for wide receivers, but what everybody else is supposed to be doing too. This guy was an academic All Big 12 player at the time when he was at Texas. He did lead Texas in yards and receptions for three straight years, and he led him in touchdowns two of 3 years, and he was second in that other year. But so he's more than just a nine round vertical down the field guy. He can run rounds. In special teams, return for a touchdown as well. But, yeah, he's more than just a speed guy. He plays tough, and he's very durable, and I can see why they do that. So you got to be good in the NFL draft. And, you know, I trust him on that. I trust him on the draft pick. And just look at what's going on. I mean, just look at these contracts. You know, George Karlaftis just gets his second one as a first-round pick. Guys like Trey Smith that possesses rings. You're talking Trey Smith, a six-round pick, that is now the highest paid guard. Matter of fact, 2021, that was the Chiefs' last pick because he was behind Cornell Powell. Trey Smith in the sixth round, he's the highest paid guard in the National Football League. You know, Creed Humphrey, second rounder, highest paid center in the National Football League. So he's paid like a first rounder. So he's drafting all these guys, not in the first round, and then he's paying them like first rounders, which means he's hitting. Just like Legarius Sneed, then went in the fourth round to get all his money. Legarius Sneed, obviously Tennessee paid him. It was a nice trade there. But then Mike Dana was drafted after him. And Mike Dana's been extremely durable and productive for the Chiefs. This guy, Mike Dana, didn't even go to the combine. He wasn't even invited to the combine. Played at Central Michigan. He played at Michigan. The Chiefs take a chance on him, and he's been great. You know, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that 2020, that was a miss. But I understand the philosophy behind it. Like, that was the one piece they really needed. I'm never a fan of running backs in the first round, but they did do it. But he possessed running and catching. Matter of fact, the only running back in the history of the SEC to have over 1,000 yards rushing and 50 receptions in a year. Of course, that was the Joe Burrow-led team. They had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase on that team. So there's a lot of stars going around to block. But regardless, that was my top three. I'll give some of your reactions when we look at this next. Welcome back to After Hours. You know what I need, Jacob? I need Waffle House. I need beer, man. You know, in Georgia, Waffle House actually collaborated with the brewery for a kegs and egg beer, man. I'm not kidding. You can't buy the beer at Waffle House, but you can buy the beer that collaborated with Waffle House. See what I mean?
Hey, they're doing everything nowadays.
I know what I need to do tomorrow. It's call liquor stores. See how productive I will be before the show tomorrow? Call liquor stores, ask for which Oktoberfest blends you have in, because just like this guy said, the Texan earlier from 816, he's a forklift driver at a beer distributor, and the Oktoberfest is just sitting around. Again, it's done in like May. At least it's coming out earlier. At least it's coming out towards the end of July and August so people can drink it, man. Beer does you no good unless you're drinking it. If it's just sitting there, it does you no good. You got to be able to drink the beer. But anyway, 913-586-7965, the J Southland Tow Service text line. Your favorite moves, favorite non-moves, maybe your worst moves you've seen. I've seen some Sky Moores on here, and that's fair. That's fair. You're not going to hit them all. Like I said, you're not going to hit them all, because if you did, nobody does. I mean, you like to think so, because a lot of times you put the Chiefs under the microscope because you live here. You're looking at every one of their draft picks. You're hitting YouTube, looking at who they drafted, who's working out, who's not. Do that with the other teams, and you'll see a lot of crap because it's not good draft pick. Look at the Titans, man. Look at Will Levis that they drafted. Not even playing this year because he's hurt. He's out for the year. And they drafted Cam Ward right after, you know, he's number one pick in the draft. Like, seriously, we sat here laughing about Will Levis at Kentucky, you know, turnovers he would have. But yet they took a shot and said, yeah, we need Will Levis. And that became their guy. I mean, teams make mistakes all the time. You can get buried if you make mistakes. It can change your franchise, turn around. Think about the Chiefs, man. Think if they went Deshaun Watson, which a good majority of people wanted, if you're being honest with yourselves, instead of Mahomes. Imagine that. Imagine how this town has changed just since Patrick. Think about all the things that have come here. I mean, guys invested in everything in this town. Got the NFL draft. Would we got the NFL draft anyway? Who knows? But the success of the Chiefs certainly helped. And, you know, the World Cup, Chiefs, the Kansas City's in the spotlight now. The World Cup's coming next year. A lot of this stuff is ancillary, man. It just tags on each other with success. I mean, this title town now. Used to not be. 15, you get it. Of course, Sporting's won a title. But 15, the Royals win. Chiefs have won three. So you look back at the last decade, you got three Super Bowls and a World Series. If you go back to 14, you've been in two World Series. You've been in five Super Bowls, you know, since 2014. This is a town, when it came to October, your team went on. When it came to watching the Super Bowl, you watched the Patriots. No offense, Jacob. But you watched the Patriots, and you watched Tom Brady.
Those were good times.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. You got your nachos, you got your hot dogs, you got your beanie weenies, and you watched Tom Brady put on yet another ring. That's what we did in this town. But now, all of a sudden, you know, it's the Chiefs. The Chiefs going to the AFC title game for seven straight years. That's right. There's seven-year-olds in this town, and the Chiefs have only gone to the AFC title game since they were born. You know, there was 21-year gap, 21-year gap where the Chiefs did not win a playoff game. You go back to 94 when they won in Houston, and you go all the way to an Alex Smith one in Houston. And that was quickly over after that. But 21 years before this town won a football playoff game. Now you've been to seven straight AFC title games. You've been to five Super Bowls in that time. You've got three rings from that time. And yet, sitting here on the Chiefs post game, I'd read the text line. It was fire Andy Reid, fire Brett Veach. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? I still would get that from Andy Reid. It's like, he's fourth all-time in wins. He's number two all-time in postseason wins. He's got 28 postseason wins. Oh, you know, we need to look else. Why? He's like the perfect guy. His worst record is 9-7, two games over 500 back in 2014, the 1 year he didn't make the playoffs. He's good for 12 wins a year. Oh, you need to move on. It's like that Salvador Perez thing, you know, people were saying earlier, says, it's time to move on. Or last year, Kelsey's done. I hit 97 catches. You know, it's this knee-jerk reaction, this satisfy me now type reaction we have, not looking at the long term. He is three wins away from Belichick in the postseason. Three. That is one postseason, and he could pass Belichick. We could be sitting here next year at this time, and Andy Reid's number one all-time in postseason wins. And not a damn person would know it because they don't put this on the news. They don't publicize this. They don't talk about it on NFL Live or NFL Network. They don't talk about it. But three wins away. They also don't talk about the fact that Mahomes has 17 playoff wins. For a town and a team that went 21 years. That's right. Babies that were born were sitting in a bar legally drinking a beer in the space the Chiefs won a playoff game. And Mahomes has won 17 of them. Only Tom Brady's won more. That's it. That's the list. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, that's the list. He's got more than Joe Montana. Passed him last year. He's got 16. Passed him. Manning's got 14. He didn't win a playoff game until his sixth season. Yeah, the success of this guy, and you don't see these stats. You see like Coward and Jason McIntyre does that show for them, talk about the Chiefs. Oh, they're going to have to move them to third in the division. Really? Nine straight AFC West titles, you're going to move them to third? Every year you do it, though. You pick the Chargers every year. You know what? You know the thing. You know the song and dance. They do it. And they've won nine straight. And last year, in my opinion, was the most impressive. Because they weren't lighting up the scoreboard. They were winning one-score games. And three teams in the AFC West went to the playoffs. That was more than any other AFC division. Three of them. Three of the four made the postseason. Chiefs won it by four games. Four games. In a division where three teams went to the playoffs, they won the division by four games. Yeah, let's put them behind the Broncos. Let's put them behind the Chargers. The Raiders are getting better. You still got to deal with the Chiefs, man. Like, you still have to deal with the Chiefs. It's like what Mitch Holtis said, you know, in that playoff game. You have to deal with the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You can do this, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs. Paraphrasing what Mitch said, but he's right. You're going to have to deal with them. And they are a problem for other NFL teams. And something's coming out in August that I think is kind of help give the Chiefs a chip on their shoulder. Let me put it that way. I'll speak what that is next.